It's the Tuesday morning show on Northern Community Radio. By this time in the morning, many of us have risen to an alarm clock. We fired up the furnace. We've taken a hot shower. We've made coffee. We've cooked breakfast. And we've hit the road. We're off to work, school, and play that requires appliances, computers, and powerful machines. Our high-energy lifestyles and high-speed, high-tech 21st century economy still rely in great part on 19th century fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas. We still have abundant sources for those fuels, but they aren't renewable and they require vast infrastructure, pipelines, power lines, ships, rail, and truck to deliver, refine, and distribute. J. Drake Hamilton is a science policy director at Fresh Energy. It's a Minnesota-based nonprofit that has been working for over 20 years to shape our clean energy future. Jay's an expert in climate policy at the state and national level, and in 2015, she attended the World Conference on Climate Change in Paris. She'll be coming to Northern Minnesota February 11th to Happy Dancing Turtles' 11th annual Back to Basics Day at the Pine River Bacchus School. She's the keynote speaker. J. Drake Hamilton joins us now. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Hello, Heidi.
Now, let's start off with our daily energy needs. Now, it's part of everything that we do in the morning. We just kind of assume it's always going to be there when we flip that switch. Do you think we take it too much for granted?
I think we have had a great set of policies in this country for the last 100 years that everyone needs universal, so everyone has electricity, affordable and reliable energy. And we've done a great job, and our companies have done a great job of meeting that need. And now what's emerging is that many people across Minnesota and across the world are not only want affordable and reliable energy, but they want it to be increasingly clean. And that's a good sign. It's what their kids and grandkids are saying they want for the future. And I'm so proud, I'm so happy to be coming up to Pine River to talk about Minnesota's clean energy economy, because we happen to be one of the leaders in the country.
How much of our current energy load comes from renewable sources?
Well, for electricity, we get now more than 21% of our electricity from renewable energy, especially wind energy, solar energy, hydropower. So that's great news. And we're headed toward at least 25% renewable energy by the year 2025. And that's smart policy that Minnesota has grown over the last 20 years. And it's really created a lot of economic opportunities and jobs in Minnesota, including in central Minnesota.
Prices are still low, though, for oil, gas, and coal. Does that affect developing other energy sources?
Yeah, you know, the energy market is global, and all energy affects other energy sources. But the reality is in electricity that the cost of wind energy especially, and in the next few years, solar energy, are coming down to the point where, in a lot of cases right here in Minnesota, it is cheaper than natural gas to use wind power. And that is what utility executives have been saying for the last 3 or 4 years, and that's what the market conditions look like. I think a lot of people aren't aware of how fast these clean energy technologies are growing and coming down in price. So one piece of data that we like to use at Fresh Energy is just since the year 2009, the price tag for LED lights, so very high efficient lights that will last for 20 years or more, has come down 94%. And just since 2009, the price tag on wind energy has come down 60%, 60, and on solar has come down 80%, 80%. And so this has been a quiet renewable energy revolution, and it is changing the decisions that power companies are making about the next electrons that they produce for us.
Jay, this is John Latimer, and I've been using photovoltaics at my home since 1983. But there are some things coming down the line that look a little ominous. The legislature is considering a bill now to allow the co-ops to set the price that they will pay for photovoltaic generated electricity from individuals like myself. And presently, it's done through the Public Utilities Commission. Can you talk a little bit about that issue and maybe what's going to happen in the future with some of these solar energy programs?
Thank you. That's a very hot topic right now, John, and thank you for being a solar pioneer. And we have a lot of those in Minnesota, especially in rural Minnesota, and a lot of them are served by rural electric co-ops. And now there is what we think is an unfortunate bill in the legislature that would eliminate consumer protections for customers who generate their own electricity, whether it's on their farm, on their land. And it would stop an expert-neutral process that's already underway and would mean that Minnesota solar customers would continue to face, they already face some of the highest fees in the nation, as high as $83 a month just for having solar on their farm or on their land. We think that's not right, and we want to make sure that there's not a power grab away from this very fair consumer protection process that's already underway by state regulators.
It's a little bit daunting and a bit dismaying to have, you know, made the investment over all these years and then to find out that that rug could get pulled out from under your feet. It doesn't seem to be very forward-thinking on the part of the government.
You're right. We think Minnesotans should have the freedom to generate their own electricity. And if they want to invest their own money, they should also get, you know, they should also know from their power company, from their co-op, how much they're going to be paid for excess generation that helps their neighbors and helps everyone on the grid. We think it's just a kind of universal value that we should have the freedom to generate our own electricity, and that this unfortunate bill cost everyone more money who tries to do that. We don't think that's right.
We're talking with J. Drake Hamilton from Fresh Energy. It's a Minnesota-based nonprofit that's been working for over 20 years to shape our clean energy future. Jay, what about Minnesota's utility companies like Minnesota Power and Xcel? What are they doing with renewables?
Yeah, you know, in Minnesota, we have over 125 different utility companies. So some of them are rural co-ops, and some of them are what are called investor-owned utilities. So the biggest one is Xcel Energy. It provides electricity for about half the state. Another big one in northeast Minnesota is Minnesota Power. And those two companies are both acknowledging that renewables, especially wind and increasingly solar energy, as well as energy efficiency, are a really important part of the mix that they provide for their customers, because they help keep future price increases down, actually. And so what both of those companies have been doing is replacing some of their oldest and dirtiest coal plants that are no longer economic with a mix of clean energy. So they're using, in some cases, natural gas, but in increasingly they're using wind energy and much more, much smarter use of energy efficiency as well. And what they're finding is that is cheaper for their customers than putting another load of coal into the boiler. Both of those companies, Minnesota Power and Xcel, are doing this for economic reasons. They think it's good for business to diversify their energy portfolio. So overall in Minnesota, and I think this is surprising to a lot of Minnesotans, because of these smart policies that are business-based, we have gone from being about two-thirds reliant on coal in 2004 to the most recent data from 2014. So in just 10 years, we've gone from two-thirds coal dependence to only about 50% coal dependence. That's a really big change for the positive, and it means our air and water are cleaner. We have much less mercury from burning coal that's going into our lakes and wetlands and fish and wildlife, and we are building a clean energy economy. I just took a look at some of the numbers from Minnesota's clean energy economy profile that came out in 2014. And they looked at central Minnesota, so they looked at counties, Cass County and counties around Cass. As of a couple of years ago, that region had 1,400 clean energy jobs. And the reason clean energy jobs are so important is that they pay in Minnesota about 42% more than the state average wage. So these are great family-supporting jobs. They are in energy efficiency especially. They are in wind power. They're in solar energy. They're in the smart grid technologies. They're in biofuels. And what I find when I go around the state talking to Minnesotans is a lot of young people in Minnesota, a lot of landowners in Minnesota want to support that diversified economy and want those jobs that make a difference in their community, that are beneficial to their community, like clean energy jobs.
How does nuclear power fit into clean energy picture?
Well, nuclear energy in Minnesota is about on track with the national average. It provides about 25% of our electricity. And in Minnesota, there are no proposals to increase nuclear energy because the costs of nuclear, of new nuclear, are higher than anything else we know. But the nuclear energy we do have is zero in carbon, so it's zero carbon electricity. So we have some time now to plan out for when the licenses for our three existing nuclear power plants expire, starting in 2030 through 2034. And we should be planning for replacements for those nuclear plants that are also zero in carbon, because that's what's right for being part of a global warming solution.
Jay, besides photovoltaics, I heat with wood. And sometimes I just bought a brand new wood stove, top of the line, supposedly super efficient. But I worry sometimes that burning wood is not a clean energy sort of a thing to do.
Yeah, well, that's a big question on a lot of northern Minnesotans' minds, because we have cold winters. And I look at that two ways. You want to be sure that you're not in a situation where you're causing more air pollution to nearby neighbors who might have kids with asthma, for instance. And you want to really look at what are the emissions from that particular wood stove. And the Pollution Control Agency can help determine that. But also you want to look at kind of the life cycle. And I know many northern Minnesotans are very good about making sure that their wood supply is sustainable. So making sure that there's replanting at the proper rate, and so that you're effectively keeping any new carbon from entering the atmosphere. You're storing that carbon in new trees.
It sounds like a reasonable answer. I guess I qualify on some of those. I'm my next door neighbor is about a half mile away, so I hope that I'm not interfering with his life.
Well,
yeah. Oh, go ahead, Heidi.
Jay, let's move on to this big power plants. That's where most of our energy comes from. Do you think those networks are vulnerable?
You mean for security reasons?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what, I think we tend to forget one thing that's happened, because we've been really good at this country in developing this cleaner and very affordable, reliable electricity system, is for most of my adult life, we haven't had to think about that, and so people don't tend to think about this grid that we're connected to. So I think about this electric grid that's connected by, you know, small distribution lines and then big transmission lines to a whole network of power plants. Some of them are fueled by coal, some of them are nuclear plants, and increasingly they're wind power plants and solar power plants. Those are also power plants. So we have to, I think, do away with the term alternative energy and talk about new clean energy. And that grid, in the case of Minnesota, extends over more than a dozen states and one Canadian province, so it's a really big territory. And that means that when any one of those power plants has to go offline, sometimes the wind is not blowing. Usually somewhere in those 12 states it is blowing. Sometimes a coal plant needs to go down for refurbishment. Sometimes a nuclear plant trips offline. Immediately there's a reliability. There are reliability rules that keep the lights on and keep the power running, which is essential. So that's the good part of the grid. We understand that in some cases there are we're so utterly reliant on that grid that we need to be careful that we have protections in place and precautions in place, that if a transformer went down or, heaven forbid, a terrorist tried to attack that grid, that we would have resilience in place and have protections in place to keep the power on or to bring it back online very quickly. We have really good both national and regional officials, engineers whose job every single day, 24 hours a day, is to make sure that that happens, but we have to remain very vigilant about that, because it's such an essential part of our quality of life.
Before we go, Jay, now John mentioned what's going on the state level in terms of renewable energies. The Trump administration is not expected to sustain the current commitments to reducing greenhouse gases. If we don't, what do you think that means for the growth of wind and solar industries in Minnesota?
You know, the really good news, and I think what many people here in Minnesota understand, is many of the energy decisions that we make are made at the state and local level. And I've been very pleased to see, when I was at the climate negotiations about a year ago, other Minnesota companies were there. 3M was there. General Mills was in Paris for the climate talks. And General Mills brought six farmers from the Midwest to talk about climate and how they can store carbon in the soil to make their farms more resilient to climate change. So when you think about really big companies like General Mills down to individual farmers who have seen these changes from climate change, you start to see, and those market numbers I talked about earlier, the 80% reduction so far in the cost of solar energy in less than 10 years, you see that there is a renewable energy revolution that's being driven by the market economy, and many businesses are interested in keeping that going. So, for instance, the week after the election, 630 companies, including several Minnesota companies, wrote a letter to the then president-elect and to the whole Congress saying, don't turn off the spigot on these clean energy opportunities. We want to move forward faster. Our customers want products that are produced with renewable energy, and this is the lowest cost thing that we can do. So don't turn off those economic opportunities. And in reality, those decisions are being made as business decisions, and so we think that a lot of those really, that really good momentum will continue moving forward, although we hope that it's the U.S. that is in the leadership position and not other countries like China, who also recognize that we need a global leader in clean energy technology. We want Minnesota and the U.S. to continue to be that set of leaders.
Well, Jay, thanks so much for talking with us today. We appreciate it. Jay Drake Hamilton from Fresh Energy is the keynote speaker for Happy Dancing Turtles Back to Basics coming up Saturday, February 11th at the Pine River Bacchus School. Call us if you need more information, 800-662-5799.